In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our theme is come over and help us. So what do you think, what is waiting us? Let's go with the passage from the book of Acts to see what happened after this vision St. Paul had seen, when somebody stand in the vision saying to him, please come over and help us. Let's read the passage from the book of Acts. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrake, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia, heard us, she was the seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, us means St. Luke was one of the team, because St. Luke was the reporter or the writer of the book, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Acts chapter 16. First of all, if you are called to start your mission or missionary life, don't expect to find a quick fruit for your mission. Actually, waiting you a long trip and a long waiting time. So what's expected is to see a long way to go. Don't expect fruits very rapid out of your labor or whatever you do in whatever country. Look to this, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrake, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. So it was a long journey. Nowadays, although you are taking flights from one country to the other, but in their days it was longer journeys, and taking much time and much effort to reach one place few hundred miles away, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. We were staying in that city for some days. So, don't rush the service. This is the first message. Don't rush the service or the results. Please wait. Do your service the way you had been taught, and pray a lot and give time to the fruits. Also, don't lose the target agreed upon. Because one of you may ask why he did not stay in Troas and he started missionary life, missionary service. Why didn't he speak the word of God in Neapolis? These countries did not hear about the Lord Jesus at that time. But because of the vision, was one from Macedonia standing and saying, come over and help us. St. Paul was targeting Macedonia. Macedonia starts from Philippi. That's why all through the travel, the journey, he did not stop in Troas or Neapolis or wherever, he just went to Philip because he had a target. So please don't lose the target agreed upon. Don't waste your time. Follow the plan made by God Himself. Also, in this country, which is Philippi, the first country or the first village in the area called Macedonia, they spent some time exploring. And this word is very important in our service, to explore the area, the people, the culture, the history, the gods, everything around. So don't start quickly. He stayed for a few days just watching and praying, researching. And on the Sabbath day, he just started with the Jews, as usual. But he spent many days just exploring what's going around. So, a usual slow beginning, and this is the usual, the common thing in service is slow. So any rush in our service is not healthy. Don't believe in the rapid fruits. On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down, spoke to the women who met there. Start from where the others stopped. Because he did not start with the people of Macedonia themselves, the Greek people. Macedonia, Philippi, in Greece now. Okay? So, I didn't tell you that this was the shift from Asia to Europe. Actually, the previous countries were in Asia, Asia Minor, Turkey now. So he passed over the Black Sea to come to Greece. هو سافر فوق البحر يعني through البحر يعني عشان يوصل لمقدونيا اللي هي أول حتة في اليونان واليونان أول بلد في أوروبا. So it was, you know, a great change in his plan and a great change in his life, because he will spend most of his life after in Europe. St. Paul spent the whole life after in Europe, actually. Start from where the others stopped. He started with the Jews, because the Jews know God. So he is building upon their knowledge of God, God of the Old Testament. He did not try himself with the pagans, with those who worship idols. He started as usual with those who know the Messiah, who expecting the Messiah and other Jews. And also women, started with women, women first and usually. Yes, most of the people coming to faith, most of them are women. Because women tend to be religious. Women seek love more than men. Women seek security more than men. And to seek love and security, you can find easily in religion. That's why women are, you know, better receivers than men on most of the cases. Outside the town, and also in our practice in the last 3 years, we could find out that it's better to start outside the city, outside the capital, the big city. In the big city, you know, people are very busy and they are very materialistic, and they look like people of Cairo. But when you go to the villages, just moving few hours away from the capital, you can see slower people, calmer ones, more kind, more patient, more having morals more and more. So he started actually outside the town. Another message, if we come over to help others, we will see the first person was always the surprise. Always expect that God will put in your way some surprise. a man or a woman will help you to open many doors, as you were saying in many experiences. That was in this country a woman called Lydia. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. So she was not even from Philippi. So she was an immigrant, but she was easier in accepting faith. The Lord opened her heart. Again, if you remember the words of St. Paul in his letter to Colossians, he was saying, "Pray for me, may God open the doors." So he used the same word. God opened her door. So always remember this. When you see anyone accepting easily the word of salvation, just remind yourself with the words of the Bible, God opened the door. Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So, some people have a natural readiness to worship God. Some people are really kind and have good heart, so they accept the word of God easily. Others are very much resistant. But usually God, to help us, to encourage us, may put in our way with the start of the service some of these good people, just to encourage us to continue. After some time we will face the truth that many are resistant. Also, with the word God opened her heart, it's the work of grace. Believe in this. You should believe that God is working with you. God is putting some words on your mouth. God is putting the smile on your face. God is putting the passion, the enthusiasm in your heart. God is pushing you this way, not that way, to meet this guy, not that one. So God is guiding and controlling and giving the power and grace you need. You can never change even yourself without the grace of God. Also, one person might be enough to start. For a start, you don't need hundreds, you don't need thousands, you don't need celebrating parties. No, sometimes you need just one person to accept faith, and he might be the key for the whole area. And that happened in this country, and it happened also in our country. In Alexandria, when St. Mark came to Alexandria, there was a man, a shoemaker called Anianus. He was just a man, and he was not even a rich man. But this man was the key to Alexandria and the key to Africa afterwards. Facilities for necessities. When she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us, because I'm trying to follow you up in your service, I can see the problem of accommodations, of money, of where to stay and where to go. So even these necessities are guided and covered by God. I think St. Paul had no money, and he cannot stay in such a foreign country for long time. But because Lydia took him in her house, she can stay for a longer period. He did not have money. So even the expenses, the accommodation, the necessities of life will be covered unexpectedly by the grace of God. Lydia, as shown in the passage, she persuaded them, St. Paul and St. Luke and other servants, to stay in her home. She looks like a rich woman, and by this they can focus on the service without any anxiety. So the expenses of service and accommodation, don't think much of this, and you will see the touch of the hand of the Lord all through your way. Don't think of these minor things. Also living with the served one. Some of you lived in some villages, and this experience living with the served people will help you to understand many things. The culture. How do they think? How do they spend their day? How do they teach their children? What are the priorities in their life? This all you can take from living with them in one house. So he had this experience through his stay with Lydia. And also the passage also focuses on the family evangelism. Lydia was baptized not alone but with her whole family. So saying the family means that we are targeting families. We are not targeting only certain age. We may start with the kids or the old men, the poor ones, the rich ones, but with the end of the story, we might end with baptizing the whole family. Nice and tough arrangements. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, so they used to pray each Sabbath, Kul Sabt, on the riverside with the Jews living there. So as they went to prayer, we went, St. Luke, the writer, is saying that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." You can see this girl did not say any wrong. Actually, she is marketing them. She is doing them a favor, so everyone will listen more to St. Paul. But this was done by the evil power, by the evil spirit. And this she did for many days. The girl was following them many days while they were moving around. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." What happened here? St. Paul's annoyance was right or wrong? Why he did not leave her just to follow him and to make him this kind of propaganda? He might use this propaganda for the service. You can never trust devil. Don't never ever trust devil. And remember what we always pray, Salatul Ghurub, that the demons were getting out of the people and they were shouting, "Anta huwa al-Masih ibn Allah," فَكَانَ يَنْتَهِرَهُمْ وَلَا يَدَعْهُمْ يَنْتِقُونَ. So don't trust devil. Evil power will make some of the truth, will say some good words, but to continue he will add many false teachings. So if you find partially some truth, don't trust, because the other part will not be true. That's why St. Paul was annoyed. And also in this, St. Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit. And this kind of annoyance happened in his heart, was guided by the Holy Spirit. That's why he could have the power to cast the demon out of this girl. So problems started, persecutions, and the unknown. After this miracle, it was a miracle, but actually it was ended up with very much trouble to Paul and Silas. Maybe St. Luke was not there, that's why he was not imprisoned with them. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So we need to understand this. when you go preaching and extending the word of God, surely devil will stand against you by all means. He will fight back. He will not let you take the people out of his hands. He will not that easy leave the field for you to sow whatever you like. He will fight back. Again, back to the chapter, they brought them to the magistrates and said, "This man, being Jude, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. So the story started very nice, that Paul was having a vision and was guided by the Spirit to move his service from Asia to Europe. He started with a nice gift that he met Lydia. Lydia accepted faith. All the family were baptized, and he had a good accommodation in Philippi. And all of a sudden, things turned upside down. Now he is in prison. He was beaten by rods with his disciple Silas. And this is exactly what usually happens in any country. I don't mean prison, I don't mean beating, but I mean troubles will arise. Surely troubles will arise after starting any service. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. It's not only a Roman prison, but moreover, the jailer was doing his job يعني, in a very good way, and he rather put their feet in the stocks. If I am in the position of St. Paul, I might think or pray this way: why God, you sent us here? Simply, I was in Asia, doors were opened, I was moving from one country to the other, and people were accepting faith. We baptized thousands of people in the last few years in Asia. Why? Why did you move us this way? Or I might think, was it my plan or was it his plan? Was it me who guided myself this way, or you guided me? Doubts may arise. But St. Paul was not me, thank God. St. Paul was sure that this was the call of God, and he was on the right track, and troubles may arise any time, and we are ready to accept whatever it comes from the hands of the Lord. So he spent the whole night with Silas praising God. And this is kind of the perfect evangelist, who will never look back. He did not look back and say, "I was wrong." No, he was right. "I choose wrong." No, he was guided. He did not choose any. He might think, if he is weak in faith like us, why did the slave girl who was possessed with the spirit of divination came into our way? Because this was the start of the problems. This girl with the spirit. So if it is not in their way, they may extend the service here and there in Philippi, and they can spend good time and serving other countries in Greece. But because of this girl, all the plans were interrupted. But again, St. Paul was not the man who goes after doubting. No, he had his faith, his trust in God. He believed that he was guided because he spent enough time in praying, and the Holy Spirit prevented him a few times before the vision he had seen. So he was sure that was the way That was the plan. I was guided, and the troubles are part of my service. Also, another doubt may come into his mind if he says, why didn't they give us a chance of defending the truth? They should give us some chance to stand for ourselves. We are not guilty. We did not mean any wrong. But actually, they did not give him any chance to defend himself. And this is, you know, the usual character of the Roman Empire or authorities. But you know, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They spent the whole night praying and singing. You know, those who are singing, they are happy. They are not down. Actually, they are very strong because they enjoy singing. أَمَسْرُورٌ أَحَدْ فَلْيُرَتِّلْ. If you are happy, go singing. So they were singing as if they achieved all the plans. Come on, St. Paul, you are in the prison. The plan stopped. You are not going to preach anymore. You don't know when are you going to get out of this prison. You might never get out of this. But actually he was happy because he is guided by the Spirit. He is praying all the time. He is not caring for his life. So he is living the life of surrender. So he was praising God the whole night with his disciple Silas. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Is praising a church order or a habit? Most probably, because they spent the night praising God, that was their habit, their kind of church order. They used to do this as servants. They used to spend night, part of the night at least, praying and praising God. Because it's not coming like a usual outcome of what happened in their day. The day was very tough. But to praise God at night means that they're usual. They did not stop praying and praising God as usual. This means that the power of any servant, any evangelist, is at night. By the way, in a discussion with His Holiness Pope Tawadros, he said that the day for people and the night for God. So any servant may make good use of the night to praise and to pray. And by doing this, he is in the spiritual guidance all the time. Also, is there fear or joy? The usual outcome of these circumstances is to be afraid, is to be scared from the future. What is going to happen the coming days? Are they going to leave them in the prison for long? But actually, he was happy because praising God makes the heart happy. Praying and praising is the power of any servant. Why didn't they sleep out of the tiredness and of being wiped up? If any of us were in their place, most probably he will fall into sleep because they were tired. Madrubin. But you know, they fought this tiredness because they knew the power of praying. They needed badly to stand against the surprises happened, the problems happened. So with the power of prayer, they got a power physical in their body and also in their spirit. And now God's divine intervention. to ask the previous questions. Were we wrong when we moved from Asia to Europe? No, it was right, and you will see now. Were we wrong when St. Paul was annoyed and cast the demon out of this girl? No, you were guided with the Spirit, and you will see now. Were we choosing the wrong track when we focused on Philippi and we left Troas, Neapolis, many other countries? No, you were on the right spot, and you will see now. So, time comes when God interferes in a great way, very much touching, and you can see clearly the hand of God as happened here. With the earthquake happened, all the doors opened, the prisoners are free, they can all get out of the prison, but no one of them went out of the prison to find out the secret of these two men. They went in, not out. Just going to Paul and Silas to ask, how could you sing at night in such a day? How could you keep the joy after all of these troubles? What is the secret behind your hope? And this is exactly the word St. Paul used in his letter afterwards. Be ready to answer the question about the secret of your hope. So this is their secret. They had a secret of hope. They believed in God, they believed in Christ, they believed in His plan, they believed He is doing fine with them, and all things work for their good, so they had hope. And they stood strong in faith. And by this praying, the praising God was kind of evangelism. Preach in the prison. They had no chance to preach the prisoners, but they were praising God. And by praising God in such circumstances, they were evangelizing God. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Why did the chains of all got loosed? Let's put it this way. If any of you in place of God, He will free only St. Paul and St. Silas. These are His men, but the others are prisoners, are criminals. Why God opened the doors for all? Maybe to show the power of the miracle, that the prisoners, even after their freedom, they did not make use of this freedom. They ran inside the prison to see the secret, to seek the hope. So this was a greater miracle than loosening their bonds. It was stronger that the prisoner themselves, the criminals, the bad people, are seeking the truth. Also, why didn't the prisoner run away? The freedom for a prisoner is very precious. But there is something more precious: his salvation, his eternal life, a joyful life, a better life. And he can have this better life in the prison. So they did not go after the freedom, they went after the better life. Why did Paul take care of the jailer, of the keeper? Why didn't he leave him to kill himself? Surely he gave them hard time a few hours ago. But because St. Paul, with the praising heart, with the heart of a servant, of an evangelist, cannot hate anyone. he loves everyone. So he loved the keeper of the prison. That's why, without thinking, he cried out, "Don't harm yourself. We all here." So the man came into the prison to see that everyone was there and there is no danger for him to put them again in the prison. He will be freed. Why did the jailer get frightened? The words of St. Luke, the jailer was frightened. Even after seeing Paul, Silas, the prisoners are all there inside, but he was frightened. Because this is not normal. This is not human. This is not accidental. This is a real miracle. So he was frightened to see God in this man. He was frightened to see the truth he never saw before. And he brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. So he took them to his house. And that was, you know, very serious because he broke all rules. But he was not afraid of anyone. And he asked a very good question. The main question of us as servants. What should I do? What should I do? Remember, St. Paul once asked the Lord the same question. "God, what do you want me to do?" Again, this jailer, this keeper is asking Paul, "What do you want me to do? You are man of God, you know. I don't know what to do to be saved." So this question is very important. We servants need to ask God all the time, "What exactly you want us to do?" And people we are serving will ask us, "What do you want us to do?" And we should have a good answer, a clear answer of believing God, repent, and go for baptism, start your new life. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Lord, what do you want me to do? Actually, this was the theme of St. Paul. I am sure that Paul was saying so all days. That's why he could see the vision of the man of Macedonia, "Come over and help us." That's why he was shifted from Asia to Europe. That's why he continued his service in Philippi. That's why he was happy even in the prison, because he was always guided by the prayer, "God, what do you want me to do? Just push me the way you like. And close any door you don't want me to get in." How did this man understand the meaning of salvation? Look to this. He asked Paul, saying, What should I do to be saved? Saved? Saved of what? How could you ask a question about salvation? This means that the words of St. Paul were given to the prisoners and the keeper were full of words of salvation. He was telling them the story of Christ the Savior. He was telling them how to be saved. That's why the man asked the question, the important one, "What exactly you want me to do to be saved?" So he believed in the story of salvation. That's why he accepted baptism. Now, how did the events end up? You can see the beautiful end of this story. St. Paul out of the prison and Silas out of the prison, and in one night they had maybe tens or hundreds of people accepting faith, and a family were baptized, and the whole country heard about these two prisoners preaching the word of God, making miracles, they are not normal people. So in one night, after a few weeks of preaching, there was a great event, starting with a hard time, but it, as usual, ended up with a beautiful, glorified ending. Glory to God. Amen.